Welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Friday, March 24th, 2023. This is edition number 55 of season 8 as we continue working our way through the Westminster Confession of Faith. We're in chapter 9 of Free Will. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church located in Evansville, Indiana. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, our website address will be provided at the end of this devotional. Additionally, you can visit my website. That address will also be given at the end of the devotional. Today, as I said, we are in chapter 9 of the Doctrine of Free Will. We will be considering paragraph number 3. Let's pray together, and then we'll consider this paragraph briefly. Our Father in heaven, as we come again to your word, and we come to deal with these very important truths that are summarized for us very helpfully, in a helpful manner, here in this document, this confession of faith that has stood the test of time. We thank you for the labors of men that have gone before us, that it might help and strengthen and encourage the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that it teaches us. And we pray that you might now teach us by your Spirit, even as promised, that our eyes would be opened, our ears opened to the truth of your word, that you would forgive us for our sins and our transgressions, and you would help us now for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, yesterday we began to deal with matters related to the doctrine of free will. We've noted that the confession makes it very plain, as does Scripture, that men do make choices. The question of God's sovereignty and our responsibility is clearly opened for us in the Word of God, and so we must not commit the error of diminishing the free choices that men make over against the divine sovereign will of a holy God who ordains all things. Those are both plainly taught in Scripture. And the fact remains that you and I make choices. We made choices already today, many choices, even as we arrived at this point, even to watch this devotional. You chose to watch it. And so Scripture is quite clear. But as we will see in paragraph 3, there is a prison of which fallen men's will is now captured due to the fall of our first parents. Let's read paragraph number 3, and then I'll interact with some of the statements that are made here so that we can understand better these important things. Paragraph number 3 of chapter 9, man by his fall into a state of sin hath wholly lost all ability of will to any spiritual good accompanying salvation. So as a natural man, being altogether averse from that good and dead in sin, is not able by his own strength to convert himself or to prepare himself thereunto. Now, it's very simple. Due to our first parents' fall, and the whole issue of original sin, the plunging of all of humanity then therefore into sin, we have lost all ability to choose on our own that which is necessary for salvation. That is simply to say that we cannot will ourselves to choose that which we would never choose. We have been left totally depraved. We have been left with great wounding against our heart, our mind, our wills, our affections. All of it has been plunged and affected greatly by this issue we call sin. And so, as the confession rightly says, man has wholly lost all ability of will to any spiritual good accompanying salvation. That is simply to say that if you are a Christian today, you are so because of God's good pleasure in turning and changing your will and inclinations from that which is evil to that which is good, and that you then come most willingly to Christ. And so Scripture is very clear as it teaches these points. Let's look at a few passages. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so this describes all people that are outside of Christ. They are in the flesh. They cannot please God no matter what they do. Their motives, their intentions, and their hearts are not to honor and give glory to the God of heaven, but they are to serve their own kingdom, their own purposes. That said, they cannot in themselves do anything that would accompany salvation in and of themselves. That is simply to say that aside from God's sovereign good pleasure to rescue them from their sin, they would never choose such behavior. John chapter 6, really should probably read the whole chapter, but of course we don't have time for that. But John chapter 6, a couple verses here. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 65, and he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. And so if, in fact, you have come to faith in Christ, it is because God the Father has drawn you to himself, making you most willing then, therefore, to believe. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't believe for you. He gives you the faith to believe, but he doesn't believe for you. But he changes your heart. He changes the disposition of your heart and your mind, that which is bent for evil and wickedness and repels the very goodness of God. He changes your heart for good. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. And you should probably continue reading all the way down through verse 18. It's a very sad indictment of the state of man. We are wholly, we have wholly lost all ability of good. And we are altogether averse from that good and dead in sin. You know, the Apostle Paul says as much in Ephesians chapter 2 and first three verses of the chapter, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We are dead in our sin, and because of this death that has not only affected our emotions and our intellect, but it's affected our will, our mind. It has affected every aspect of our being. We are altogether averse from anything good because we are indeed dead in sin. We are not able then, therefore, by our own strength to convert ourselves. Something must happen. And the very next verse of Ephesians 2 tells us what must happen. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And so he resurrects our dead hearts. We cannot see the kingdom of God. We can't even choose to see the kingdom of God. We would not choose to see the kingdom of God if not for the Spirit of God changing our vision, changing our eyes so that we can see. And Jesus says this in John chapter 3. When he's talking to Nicodemus, this man came to Jesus by night, verse 2, and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, literally, that is unless someone is born from above or born from the Spirit of God. And so unless the Spirit of God opens our eyes and changes our inclinations and our will, we will never choose a holy God. We would not choose a holy God because our deeds are evil. And this is the influence and effect of sin upon us. But if, in fact, the Spirit of God does cause us to see the kingdom of God, we will then choose righteousness. We make that choice. He doesn't make it for us. We make it because we are then empowered, enabled to make it by the very Spirit of the living God. And we will indeed make that choice. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so here the confession gives to us really a very sad indictment of the state of humanity because of sin. We are unable to choose righteousness. We are unable to choose that which is good. We won't choose it. It's not as though we have the option of two things. We are trapped in our prison, that prison that we have been, we are in due to our fallen nature, and we always choose that which is opposite what God would demand. There is none righteous, There's none righteous, no, not one. However, if indeed the Spirit of God does work on the heart and mind of a person, he will freely come to the gospel as offered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The way to reach me is there before you on the screen. And so until the Monday edition, when we continue into this chapter dealing with paragraph number 4, may the Lord help you today. May you serve him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless.